Governor, the first question, you had the drought meeting today. What are you hearing from the ag community about just how bad this is?
Well, unfortunately, you know, we're much below normal precipitation, and the temperature is way above normal. So that's kind of a double whammy, and we're seeing the crops deteriorate. We're down to only about 38% of the corn is good to excellent, much worse than last year and normal years. So we're concerned, and every day that goes by without more rain, obviously it deteriorates more. On the plus side, these new hybrids we have are much more drought resistant, and if you have heavy, good soil, they're holding up better than one could imagine. Also, 90%, just nearly 90% of farmers do have crop insurance. One of the big concerns is the livestock producers. The price of corn and soybeans has gone up dramatically in the last few weeks, and that's going to really put a price squeeze on people that are feeding hogs or cattle. And so we're hopeful that we can get some relief. The new farm bill, that's one thing we hope will pass the Congress before Election Day. And many of the programs to help the livestock producers have expired, and if the new farm bill were approved, that could provide some relief. The state is doing what it can to coordinate and work with the federal government and try to make sure that we get the drought designation as quickly as qualified as counties qualify.
Are there any state provisions, any state programs that can help out in that process?
Yes. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship and the DNR do have some programs to assist. And I put together a working group on the drought way back in February so we could plan for this and coordinate this. And we're trying to do all that we can. But the big things that people rely on are primarily crop insurance and then also the disaster programs that are available. But we've got to work through from the county to the state and then on to the federal level.
Any issues brought up today during that meeting that weren't on the radar that maybe an individual, a farmer or two, are facing now because of this that you weren't aware of?
Well, most of what we heard were things that I kind of predicted because I've been governor in the drought before in 1988, 1983. But the particular impact on livestock producers and the fact that the farm bill has expired and consequently some of the relief that's been available in the past isn't presently, but the farm bill has passed the Senate. It's out of committee in the House. There is a good chance for that to be probably one of the few things that could get done before the election in Congress, and we're very hopeful that that will happen. That could provide some relief. Also, the USDA can give grazing rights and hopefully haying rights also on CRP acres for farmers, especially for cattlemen. That could be helpful.
They just today came from Governor Nixon's office, but USDA has now given the 10 most southern counties in Iowa disaster declarations.
Right.
Does that benefit the farmers?
Yes, it does, in those counties. And we expect that additional counties will be added. And we have another meeting tomorrow of this emergency group that's going to be looking at that. And, frankly, every day that goes by without rain, I think we'll see additional counties added.
As you mentioned, you have the unique perspective as going through this before 25 years ago. You declared statewide emergency then. Are we anywhere close to that yet?
Well, we're not there yet, but you know, Western Iowa is not as bad as it is here in Eastern Iowa this year. Last year, we had flooding along the Missouri River, and Western Iowa really took a beating. This year, that part of the state is not, and again, it's spotty. There are some areas like Louisa County got 6 inches of rain a couple weeks ago. They're not as bad as say that is here in Lee County, or it is in Des Moines County, or up in Dubuque or Jackson County. So you have to kind of look at it county by county, and that's the way the rules are.
To switch to health care right now, obviously the Affordable Care Act is going to put a lot of pressure on Medicaid into states. How do you think that's going to affect Iowa, and what are you going to do about it? What's your plan?
Well, I don't think it's affordable or sustainable. The federal government is already $16 trillion of debt. 40 cents of every dollar they're spending is borrowed money, and now they're going to add another 16 or 17 million to the Medicaid rolls. And they say they're going to pay for it. I don't know how they're going to be able to afford it. And if we buy into it, then we have a maintenance of effort requirement. And if the federal government doesn't pick it up, it falls on the backs of the taxpayers of Iowa. We've taken a different approach. We started last year with our Healthy Estate Initiative. We're trying to get people to take ownership of their own health. We're focusing on exercise, nutrition, not using tobacco products, and also encouraging communities to compete to be blue zones and do all they can. And yet also get people, I'm asking state employees to voluntarily contribute 20% to their health insurance. If every state employee did that, we could save $100 million that could help us meet some of these other responsibilities.
Do you expect them to do that, though, Beans? Those are negotiated into their contracts that they have that free health insurance.
Right. Well, I'm going to do it. The lieutenant governor is going to do it. I think a lot of our department heads are going to do it. I don't expect a lot of rank-and-file workers will do it immediately, but I down the road, most people in the private sector are paying more than that. The president of the Rotary told me he's paying 40%. A lot of people are paying 30, 40, 50%. So we think in the future that makes sense. And I guess by starting early with the leadership, people like myself doing it, we hope that other employees will see this is a fair thing to do. And it's a way that we can help the state meet some of these challenges that we're facing with the responsibility of trying to help more low-income people get health coverage.
Will the 20% become a part of future negotiations? Is that something you'll stress for in the next contract?
Well, in fact, I intended to do that in the last contract, but I never got the opportunity because the union made its first demand and Governor Culver, without any negotiations, just acquiesced to it. I thought that was unfair to the taxpayers because I ran on and was elected saying that I wanted to see state employees contribute 20%. So the first opportunity I'm going to get is after the election in November in the new negotiations. But I thought by leading by example, by voluntarily doing this myself, hopefully I can set the stage to get this done through the next negotiation process.
I'm going to jump to the fertilizer plant. Where is that at from the state's perspective, especially now that another spot in Iowa is under heavy consideration for it?
Well, there are several different spots they've looked at. We think that the one that's got the best prospect is the new site here in Lee County. Originally, there was a site in Lee County that they were going to do, but that had problems with the floodplain. They have a new site that doesn't have those problems. We think that's probably the best opportunity for this. Illinois has gotten involved. They're trying to steal this project. But what I've told this company, and I met with them personally, is, you know, we have a history in Iowa of honest, reliable government. We do what we say we're going to do. When I was governor before, we got rid of the tax on machinery and equipment. We're focused on reducing the corporate income tax for companies like that to create good jobs in our state. And we have a much better track record than Illinois. And I think they do favor Iowa. We want that project to be here, and we're going to do all we can to see that it happens.
Will you push Lee County over Walcott, Iowa, in this?
Well, actually, I really can't take sides between the different sites in Iowa, but I understand that the Walcott site has some zoning issues that are not a problem here. So realistically, looking at it, the company needs to decide where, and I don't take sides between different sites in Iowa, but as I understand it, the site in Lee County is the preferred site.
There's a meeting tonight in opposition to the tax incentives surrounding this plant. Are you aware of those types of meetings, the type of opposition coming up to the incentives?
Well, there is always. When we located IBSCO Steel in Iowa, it was great jobs and a great program, but you always have, you know, there's always going to be some beginners on anything, but this is the biggest economic development project in the history of the state of Iowa. These are great jobs. I think it certainly makes sense to do that, and it's going to take the partnership between local government and the state and everybody working together, but these are the kind of jobs we want in the state of Iowa. I certainly hope that people will understand and support it, seeing the benefits far outweigh the costs.
Okay. Real quick question. When Mitt Romney announces his running mate this week, what's the chance we're going to hear your name?
Listen, I love this job as governor of Iowa. That's where I intend to stay. I'm going to do all I can to help Mitt Romney to carry the state of Iowa and be elected the next president.